You'd think that as a video game podcaster and comedian, my life is all fun and games. And honestly, you'd be right. About 90% of the time, it's pretty sweet. But every morning, I deal with something very, very serious. My face. You don't become an Edmonton Six overnight. It takes work. And in my case, it takes good facial hair. And fortunately, I have a great facial hair tag team partner in Harry's. Hit up harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set and see what I'm talking about. Harry saw the tire fire that the shaving market had become and asked, how did it get like this? Crappy plastic razors, overpriced blades, all locked up like gold bars. And they said, no, we can fix this. And damn it, they did. Harry's ships premium quality razors right to your door. About once a month, I check my mail and there's that little box with everything I need to keep my kid presentable status. The blades stay sharp longer, which means an easier time getting my face in order in the morning. And the razors don't look like a dumb piece of plastic that a junior high schooler uses to take care of their peach fuzz. You have the facial hair of a man now. Shave like one. I actually leave my razor handle on the bathroom counter all the time just because it looks so damn classy. Harry's blades are German engineered and they're made to last. They're the best blades on the market for the best price, and you don't even have to go out to get them. Set your delivery schedule and shave like a king. I know it sounds sarcastic, but I'm being serious. I've used Harry's forever. These blades are really freaking good. Highest reviews in the industry, a money back guarantee that you're not going to need, and a subscription that you can cancel anytime you want. Getting ripped off isn't funny. Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/RTG. That's harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Remember the Game. It's my retro gaming podcast where every week a buddy of mine and I sit down and geek out about the games we played back in the day. My name is Adam Blank. Thank you guys so much for listening. This week, it's episode 64, and I was torn. I was like, number 64, do I talk a Nintendo 64 game, or do I play to what's topical right now, which is the Sega Genesis with the classic coming out this week? And blatantly, I went Sega Genesis so I could cash in on the hashtags and the probable trending on Twitter. Say that five times fast. The probable trending on Twitter of the Sega Genesis. We're going Sega this week, and we are talking Shinobi 3, Return of the Ninja Master. Now listen, I know there's probably some of you out there that have never played this game, and you may not have even gotten this far into the podcast. You may have saw that and just been like, nah, you know, because honestly, I probably would have done that at one point. I wasn't a Sega kid. I didn't know this game until like 6 months ago. It's a great game. Fucking let's be open-minded, okay? This show is probably going to be very more Sega-centric than it has ever been over the next 2 to 3 weeks with the Sega Genesis coming out and stuff like that. So for those of you, and I do get messages from people that have never played some of the games, they listen to the episodes and then they're like, now I'm kind of interested in playing the game. If that's you, let me know, because that's really cool. And I'm telling you guys, like, if you're into like Ninja Gaiden and action platformers and retro and stuff, like, play this game because it's fucking rad and it's available everywhere. I'll get more into that in a couple of minutes, but it's good. You guys know I'm going to ramble for a few minutes first. Boy, I've been looking forward to this episode because it has just been a fucking day, and I'm not going to go into my personal life for too long here, but I'll let you guys know, in case you aren't aware, I usually record the intro and the outro and do the editing of these podcasts on Tuesdays. Usually like I get the intro and outro recorded in the morning, and then after lunch, I sit down and edit it and get the YouTube video together and all that good stuff. And right now it's like late Tuesday night when I'm doing this part. I still have to edit it because it has just been a fucking day. And then I had a show tonight for comedy, and I'm a stand-up comedian by trade. And I'll tell you guys right now, if you've ever thought about becoming a stand-up comedian, don't, because it fucking sucks. The booking side, it doesn't all suck, but the booking side of it sucks. The business side sucks, and the pay is not worth the garbage that comes with it sometimes. So if you're listening to this and you're like, I'd like to be a comedian, don't. Stay in school or stay on your forklift or stay, I mean, don't do something you hate, I guess, but just don't be a comedian. Fucking, it's been a day. But anyway, that's, honestly, I was just gonna, I was gonna have a couple of puffs and just play some video games tonight. And then I was like, oh yeah, I got to finish the podcast. So I'm not complaining. I need this. I just want to rant. I just want to talk some video games for a little while. I like listening to the music. That's part of the editing. I love listening to that old music. It just puts me in a good mood. And let's talk some video games. We're talking Shinobi 3. You guys know I'm going to talk about, I already said that part. I'm tired. It has been a day. I will probably be at the Edmonton Expo this weekend. When you guys hear this, if you listen to it in real time or close to its release date, it'll be September 18th or 19th. I don't know what day I'm going to be at the expo yet, but I'm going to be there probably Friday or Saturday and just handing out the cards. I ordered some new business cards for the podcast with part of our Patreon income. So thank you all so much for helping me do that. I don't know if I'm going to get kicked out of the expo for handing them out, and I don't know if it's going to accomplish anything as far as getting listeners, but I don't know what else to do. So I got these nice cards with our logo on the front and then all the games, and then on the back, it just says we follow back. It's got all our, you guys can see it on our Instagram and stuff at Member the Game, and I'll just be handing them out and trying to pick up some listeners. So if you go back in time, if you're one of the people I picked up to listen to the show at the Edmonton Expo and you go back in time to listen to old episodes and listen to this one, now you hear this, shoot me a message and tell me that I met you at the Edmonton Expo and that's why you came. That'd be awesome. Also, next week for the episode, potentially I'm going to be doing my first ever solo one here on the show. Not because I don't have a guest, because I have old episodes recorded. I'm always recording more. I want to review the Sega Mini. And I think it's, honestly, it's one I think I want to do by myself. And my thought process is it's going to be a Sega Genesis Classic review from a Nintendo fanboy who has no nostalgic ties to the Sega Genesis at all. And to kind of explain to you guys, is it worth your money? Okay, when I picked up a PlayStation Classic, I had a few people ask me if we were going to do a review of one on the show. And the reason we never did it was just because there's so many reviews already out by the time I bought one, because I waited for it to be like $10. And I just figured, what am I going to say that hasn't already been said a million times about what a piece of crap that thing is? But the Sega Classic is getting really good reviews, and I have no, like I said, next to no nostalgic ties to this thing. I just really like retro gaming. I think it looks awesome, like the aesthetics of it. Like, I'm looking at my shelf right now. I have a PlayStation Classic, a Super Nintendo Classic, an NES Classic, and then I'm going to have my Sega Classic sitting there beside it, and that's fucking really cool to me. So I think next week it's going to be a solo episode. I'm just going to give you guys a review. I won't be going into depth on every game because I'm only going to have a couple of days to play them, plus I want to use the games for the episodes. But I'll let you know what I think of it. I'll let you know how it stacks up against the Nintendo, the Super Nintendo, the PlayStation Classic. And is it something that I feel like you guys should pick up? And if you guys enjoy that concept, let me know. Because there's other retro gaming consoles out there. There's like Ataris and ColecoVisions and other ones that I have no nostalgic ties to at all. And I'll pick one up and review it on the show if that's something you guys think you'd be interested in. So expect that next week. The only reason that won't happen will be if Best Buy fucks me on my delivery date. I pre-ordered them online. Honestly, in hindsight, I shouldn't have pre-ordered them. I should have just gone down to the EB Games near my house the morning that they come out and just bought two, because one of them we gave away. But I was afraid that the hype would catch up and they would be like sold out and everything, and I don't think that's going to be the case. It's really, I feel like Sega might have missed the boat on this thing. You know, we'll get more into that later. But if you want one this week when they come out, I think you'd be able to walk into stores and buy one. So as long as Best Buy doesn't ship it to me late, dude, I can't remember what console it was. Maybe it was my Super Nintendo Classic, where I ended up waiting like an extra 2 days to get it or something because it took so fucking long to show up at my house. So hopefully that's not the case with this thing. I just get it. If I get it, I have the weekend to play with it. Then I'll review it for you guys, next week on the show. And if not, there's going to be another Sega centric episode coming, I think. Anyways, we're going to have a couple of those, trying to throw the Sega a little bit of love. I'm being open-minded. You know, I'm 35. I'm getting old. I've let grudges go. Bygones be bygones. The Nintendo Sega thing is dead. Let's show Sega some love. And let's review their system, right? And let's play their games. Because they're not all bad. I mean, Sonic's bad, but they're not. No, he's not. That's just me semi-trolling. Let me see. What else did I want to... I got lots of time. What else are we going to talk about here? The Patreon episode, the second episode for the month of September, will be going live on Monday, which is the 23rd. That is the Q&A rambling one. I don't have a lot of questions right now, so if you've got a question or something you want me to talk about, let me know. If you don't, totally fine. I have a long list of things I want to talk about that I just haven't gotten to in the last couple episodes because I've been answering questions and stuff. So if you've got anything you want me to talk about, if you just want to plug, if you just want me to comment on something, like, hey, you guys bought you guys paid for the show, so I'll say whatever you want me to say, as long as it's not too like racist or something shitty. And if not, you can just kick back and listen to me rant for a little while on Monday. So that's coming up. Shoot me messages, because I'll probably be recording that episode this weekend, probably on Sunday is the day I'm planning to do it. Also, another thing I wanted to touch on quickly before I get to Shinobi is GameStop / EB Games. I don't know where they are where. Like in Canada, I'm pretty sure it's all EB Games, but I see a lot of people calling it GameStop. I think it's the same thing. I don't know. Anyway, they're closing more stores and laying off more people. And it's sad because you don't want to see anyone lose their income. But it's also like, are we not all, we're all looking at it and being like, well, Blockbuster, it's the new Blockbuster, right? Like this is going to happen. I mean, modern games are available. I mean, I think they said that sales are literally almost 50-50 right now between digital and physical for people. I know I'm digital, not everybody is, but I know it's a big thing. And a lot of people are just buying their games off Amazon and stuff and having them shipped to their house so they don't have to drive to the store. Right. So obviously that's hurting them. And then I saw that some of them are trying to get more into retro games and trying to sell those. I know they've been trying to do that for a little while now, and I can't imagine that working, right? Because, and I wrote a list of things, like people that play retro games, including, I'm assuming most of the people listening to this show, we're not going to buy them at EB Games, right? Because there's other ways we're going to buy them. Either you play them like I do, which is primarily on classic consoles, like the Nintendo Classics and stuff, or compilation packages like the Sega Genesis Classic Collection that you can get on all your systems and things like that. That's my preferred way to play retro games. SNES Online, Nintendo Online, stuff like that with save states and rewind. It's just more convenient to me than setting up all the old things. I don't have an old TV to set them all up on. People are buying their retro games online through EB Game, or not EB Games, through like eBay and stuff like that. They're playing them on Raspberry Pi, so they're not buying anything. They're just downloading ROMs, or they're hunting, right? I think that a lot of, I know I was like this when I collected retro games. A lot of retro game collectors like that thrill of the hunt. You go to the flea markets and the garage sales and stuff, and you find stuff to, you know, cheap. Right? Like, I mean, I don't know what EB Games is charging for the retro games, but I know that, like, we have a games store here in Edmonton called Game City. There's a few of them. And the prices are, like, ridiculous. It's, like, $30 for, like, a copy of Super Mario Brothers 3. And, like, no one's fucking paying that. Right? Like, I'm not going to go in there. Like, you could, like, no one's going to go in there and buy that. Like, especially not a retro collector. So if that's what EB Games is going to try to do, that's not going to save them. Like, I don't know. I feel bad to see all those people losing their jobs, but I mean, they're in trouble. I'm curious to see where gaming goes as a whole over the next like 15 years with like things like streaming and Game Pass on Xbox and PS Plus and all that kind of stuff. Like, I'm curious to see if we're even buying video games in another 15 years or if we're just paying for services and then just playing all the games on it. I mean, there's always going to be a market for retro games because some people just prefer to play it on that classic hardware. And I mean, those old NES carts are going to last forever and stuff like that, right? Just that market's not going to be EB Games. You know, I'm so glad I'm not on that fucking executive board because I have no idea how you fix that right now. You quit. That's how you fix that. You get out of there. All right. That's good. That's enough ranting. What am I playing? We'll talk Shinobi. We'll get out of here. What have I been playing over the last 7 days? Link to the Past, almost exclusively on my Super Nintendo Online, on my Switch. I love that fucking game. That game and Super Mario World are just like my ultimate two comfort foods. Oh, yeah. And I know that Brad is listening to this, Bradley, and you're beaking me because I got the flippers before I got the flute in Link to the Past. The flute is for bitches, and you don't have a way to retort because you're not on this podcast talking about it with me right now. So fuck you. But Link to the Past is awesome. So is Super Mario World. So are so many of those games. It's just like the ultimate comfort food for me. And I'm kind of in that, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like the void between games. Like I finished Fire Emblem where I just was like all in on it and I adored it. You know what I mean? And I'm almost on Thousand Year Door, but I'm basically just waiting for this week with the Link's Awakening remake and the Sega Genesis Mini. And it's like, I don't want to start like a big new game when I'm waiting for these two. So you just kind of, you know, these Super Nintendo games are just a perfect time fills. Retro games are so good for this. Also quickly, I've had a couple people, that's all I've been playing, by the way, is mostly just Link to the Past. A little bit of Tetris 99, a little bit of Mario Kart 8, kind of dipped my toe back into that pool. I love that game, but mostly Link to the Past, just waiting out on these new games. A couple of people have mentioned I haven't been doing any Let's Plays. And the main reason for that is because I've been on the road a ton, and they are very time-consuming, and I just haven't had a chance. Plus, I'm a little demotivated to do them now with Nintendo offering all of these games on their Switch. Everyone's playing them, and I'm like, well, there's no need to do a Let's Play of these. So I'm still going to do some. I want to do one of Mario Sunshine really bad. There's some old NES games. I was working on one of Metal Gear Solid that I thought was a little too dry, and I gave up on it, but I might go back and finish it. It's just, I've been busy. I'll be honest, like September through New Year's Eve is like the busiest time of the year for comedians. We make like over half of our yearly income in the next like 15 weeks. So I'm just not at home to record and edit them, but they're coming. I don't get a ton of views on them either, so they're just not a priority for me. But thanks for the people that have been asking. And I've had a couple people ask about Twitch too. Nothing's going on over there yet. I just haven't had time. It's something I want to do, but it's just the bottom of the priority barrel here. All right. Good enough. I've talked about myself for almost 14 minutes. I'll shut the fuck up. We are talking Shinobi 3, Return of the Ninja Master this week, you guys. If ever, this podcast has been the perfect excuse for me to go back and play games that I never played before, and this was one of them. I'm discovering more and more of the Sega Genesis, because as you all know, I'm not a Sega guy. I've been talking about it this whole intro. And to me, when most of us non-Sega people think of the Genesis, you think of sports games, fighting games, or Disney. Like those are the, and then Sonic, obviously, but like, I think of like the Lion King and Aladdin and then some of the fighting stuff and like NHL 94 and things like that. But dude, I'm telling you, there were some really good games on the Sega Genesis that just never got discovered by a lot of us, myself included, because we just didn't, you know, Nintendo, everyone thought of the Nintendo games, right? Nobody thought of that with Sega. And this podcast has been a great excuse for me to go back and try some of these games and discover just how good they are. And it's a really cool thing when you can play a good retro game for the first time. Because nobody makes retro games anymore. I know there's like, you know, the indie-inspired ones, but no one's making just bona fide retro games anymore. And it's like seeing a movie for the first time or watching a TV show for the first time. And you can discover some of these. Like, I would give anything to be able to play Super Mario World for the first time again. Other than, I guess, my memory, which is what I would have to give up to play it. But I've been discovering new retro games. I played Shining Force a little while ago, a tactical RPG on the Sega Genesis, which was fucking awesome. We reviewed it on one of the episodes of the show in like the 40s, I think. And I played Shinobi 3 a couple months ago on my pal Miklos' suggestion. He was my guest on Shining Force. He's my guest here again this week. This was a phenomenal recommendation from him. This thing's available on the 3DS. It's available on the Virtual Console. It's on the Sega Genesis Classic. It's on the Sega Genesis Collection. That's on all the major consoles. So it's everywhere, you guys. I'm really going to recommend it. I'm going to cue the music, and we're going to explain why you should play it right now. This game released on the Mega Drive, which is so weird to me. It's like the Sega Genesis, but it's also the Mega Drive, I guess. In North America on August 22nd, 1993. It's available everywhere. You should go play it, and we're going to tell you why right now. Here we go. If you're hearing this, you're probably a gamer. And for our kind, nothing is as precious and valuable as our save files. Have you ever experienced the loss of a save file? It's soul-crushing. Dozens, maybe hundreds of hours of work, gone, like that. But at the end of the day, it's a video game. It matters, but kinda, you know? That exact scenario, but with a work project, an essay for school, data for your business, that's no joke. That can be really serious. You need a safety net. And I got you, fam, with my partners over at CrashPlan. Visit CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. CrashPlan has been protecting people's data since 2001. And a couple years ago, they set out on their own with one mission, to provide the best damn cloud backup solution on the market. CrashPlan runs quietly in the background of your computer or Mac, and every 15 minutes on the clock, they create a new backup of every file that's changed in that time. So if something goes wrong, God forbid, you don't lose hours, lose days, lose weeks of work. Just log into your account and you can download your most recent backup from the secure cloud servers. And there's not just one backup. There's a laundry list of them. You can pick and choose which one you want. It's like the ultimate undo button. If you work on a computer in any capacity, CrashPlan is a must-have. And if you're thinking, that's for big businesses, I'm just Joe Schmo. CrashPlan protects Joe Schmo. They offer a ton of plans and tiers. So there's a CrashPlan for everyone, from small one-person businesses like me to you fancy businesses and offices with staff and free donuts and all that stuff. Time is money. Why wouldn't you protect your work? Spreadsheets, diagrams, videos, art, podcasts. CrashPlan has you covered. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan. Okay, so one of the cool things about doing this podcast is that, like, I'm going back and either replaying games I played as a kid. I call it research. I'm not gaming, I'm researching. I'm doing the air quotes as I say it. I'm either playing old games I played as a kid, or I'm like discovering new retro games that I never played. And particularly on the Genesis, because I didn't have a Genesis, I haven't played any of these. And so joining me this week, as he's been on the show many, many times before, is my buddy Miklos. How are you, buddy?
I'm wonderful.
And he is a Sega nerd. Much like I'm an SNES nerd. And so he's one of my go-tos. I'm like, dude, what do I need to play on this system? And like, for the record, I'm not playing them on a Sega. I'm playing them on the Sega Genesis collection on the Switch. One of the games he suggested to me right away was Shinobi 3.
It is so much fun. I love this game.
Dude, admittedly, when I scrolled through... So, like, if you've never played the Sega collection, when you bring it up, it's like the hub screen is like you're in a kid's bedroom. And there's like a shelf with all the Sega Genesis cases on the shelf. And so you just scroll through the cases. And honestly, like, I scrolled by Shinobi 3 and, like, it never registered. I was like, I'll never play that. I don't even know what the fuck that is. Because I think when most people think of Sega Genesis, outside of the Sonic games, they think of, like, Echo the Dolphin. They think of Gunstar Heroes. They think of Phantasy Star. You know what I mean? Like, nobody thinks of Shinobi. At least I had never heard of Shinobi at all. This game is fucking
I played this game so incredibly much as a kid, man.
Like, it is fucking incredible.
This is one of those games that, like, I got, and I played through to the end. Like, back before all the save states and stuff, I grinded through and got so good that you go through like the first like 5 or 6 levels, not dying, not using any of your specials.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, sometimes not, like, because you got to like collect the throwing stars or the shurikens.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You got to save them up. So I would go through and not use any of them. Like, just drop kicking.
I love it. It's so funny. Like, so, like, if you've never played Shinobi 3, basically, it's like a really good looking, or at least at its basic look, it looks like a really sick looking Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah.
It's like you basically control this ninja. His name, I assume it, he's Shinobi. And like, it's like, dude, when I texted you the night I started playing it, and I was like, this game is everything I think of when I think of retro.
Yeah.
It's fucking, it's bright, it looks rad, and you're just basically running from left to right, shooting or punching. When you shoot, you throw these like the ninja stars,
they're like little knives.
Basically, you just run from left to right, like, killing bad guys, and that's all it is. And it's like, and that's everything I think of when I think of vintage video gaming, is like, is that, you know what I mean? It looks to this day, it fucking looks great.
Good. Yeah,
it looks great. The controls are really tight.
They're so,
like, handles good. And I could see how you could like play, like, we all had these games when you were a kid, because you only had so many games when you were a kid, so you had to play the games you had. And I could see this being like, if this was the game you got for Christmas, say, and you just fucking did it over and over and over till you beat it. And I could see how that would be.
And not even being like, because I know, like, a lot of times now anyways, I'll play a game that you kind of have to like go back over and over and over just to like figure out where everything is. This one, I enjoyed playing, like, because I don't know, when I was a kid, we always did like the like play ninjas and stuff.
Right.
So like having the be able to play as a ninja and do crazy drop kicks.
Yeah. And like, because it's funny, because it's one of those games that's like, at its core, is so basic.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, the first time I played through it, I died in like the second world because I was kept running out of throwing stuff. And then I, like, honestly, I had to look up the manual just to be like, what the fuck's going on here? But then once you have a very basic understanding of the controls, it's so simple to play.
Yeah.
But it would be, I could see how it'd be ridiculously difficult to like,
once you master the drop kick, it's because you like drop kick and you like bounce up and you can like drop kick again.
Yeah.
So they were like, areas where like a bunch of guys would be coming like drop kick.
So like his basic controls are like you run and you jump, and then like he throws, like, you start out, like, you only have so many of these like little ninja stars, whatever you want to call them. I'm just gonna call them ninja stars for the sake of calling them ninja stars. They're actually like those little dagger
like throwing
things.
Knives.
But like, so you start out with this, like, I think like 50 of them or something, but then you can constantly pick up more as you go. And every time you hit attack, you throw one. But if you're close enough to a bad guy, then you don't throw one. You just like cut them
or punch them
or whatever. And so, and then you can also jump and throw them, or you can jump and then punch and do that
drop kick.
The kick thing. And like, same dude, exact same thing you just said. Once I figured out that I could do that, whenever you land that kick, you bounce back up in the air.
Yeah.
So you can like just like almost like Mario hopping from turtle to turtle. Like if there's three or four bad guys, like just pop, pop, pop. And like, that's what I would do is I would, cause you try to conserve your knives for boss fights.
Oh yeah.
So you, once you figure
you don't
want
to be up there drop kicking some of these guys.
Dude, no. And so once you figure out that you need your knives for like the tougher fights, then you just start relying on that drop kick over and over, but it never gets boring. Like it's very fun. It never gets boring or old.
Yeah, and like just the level exploration was fun. You could do like the jumping off the walls. And and then you like double jump to places and then run and jump. Like, there was so much exploring.
I mean, it's not like they're not the like, I mean, like I won't lie, like they're not the biggest levels fucking of all time.
No,
but totally you can explore because you can go find, excuse me, additional power ups.
Yeah,
like you can usually find another special move in a level. Like, because that's the other thing is you get these, I think they call them like ninja arts or something.
Yeah.
And you get like four different ninja arts that you can scroll through. And truthfully, dude, I don't know about you. I only ever used two.
The fire one.
Yep.
And there's another one that was really...
So there's like you start each level with one. And then sometimes you can find an item to get more. But
and
like,
I think if you got the extra ones, they continued over.
Right.
I might be wrong on that.
I never had that because I won't lie to you. Usually when I got to the boss, I needed the cash.
Yeah.
And the one I used the most was there was one that'd make you, it was like a shield basically.
Okay.
And it would take some damage for you. And so what I would do is I would attack until I was down to like my last hit, then cash that thing in and buy myself some time and try to like finish the guy off before it was too late. Because it was that, there was one where you'd like bring all this fire up from the ground and like you would attack everything on the screen.
That's the one I used a lot.
It's pretty handy. And then I think there's like a jumping one and something else, but I never used the other two.
I think there was, maybe I wanted to say there's a lightning one, but I don't remember.
Yeah, it's, but they're handy anyway. They're like, they're always, they're just there as like a Hail Mary type thing. And like, honestly, dude, like the first two times I played it, I cashed them in early and then realize like I better save these for the end because like the first few bosses are not hard.
No, they're not.
But when that game, dude, so that game like
ramps up
so it like I don't even know the storyline basically like the, you I think what happened is you defeated this like army and now they've come back and you basically have to go fight
I'm assuming
again.
That has something to do with Shinobi 1 and 2.
It has to. I don't know. It doesn't
nobody
even matter.
Knows about.
But it's like, it's the epitome of just like, it. I won't necessarily say Ninja Gaiden because Ninja Gaiden actually had, and if it's Gaiden, fuck off, it's Gaiden. But like, at least it had like it had the cutscenes and like the story to it, kind of, you know. Whereas this one really felt like, it was like,
it kind of like, tells you like at the beginning what's going on, but it's like,
you don't care.
You don't care. No.
You just want to run around chopping guys up. That's all it is.
That's it. Just run around, kill things.
And so like you start off like in the woods and then you end up in like warehouses and factories and these weird, like you're, dude, the only criticism I have of the controls, the only one, it handles tight. It handles great. Is the fucking level where you're climbing on like pipes with like water underneath and you can hang off the roof and you have to, or like off pipes or what have you. And there were just certain times where like, I think I would forget to hold up before I hit jump. And then instead of jumping up to grab the next pipe, you'd let go and fall down.
Yeah.
And then I'd fall through the water. And I was like, that's not what I'm trying to fucking do. Like, get the fuck out of here. You end up there. And then none of those levels are that hard. No. But then you end up in like a dojo or something.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it's like, they're like, oh yeah, you've had your fun. And then they just start killing you.
Yeah. Oh, now you're in our like central base. Now we're here. Man, we can't have that.
Yeah. And like the first four or five levels, because it's only like a 7 or 8 level game, I think. And the first four or five levels are fun, but not super hard. If you get good, like I could see how you could beat them without dying once if you put in a little bit of repetition and knew where all the bad guys were.
Yeah.
Because bad guys never change. Like you know where they're going to be type thing, right? But once you get to that fucking dojo level and you have to like, oh, fuck. That's actually my other minor criticism is the wall climbing is sweet, albeit a little bit finicky at times. And there's parts where you have to, and particularly in this fucking dojo, where you have to go up at the top of the level and there's like columns of wall with no bottom on them and spikes on the top.
Yeah.
And so you have to wall jump over like up, at, like, you know, like you would do in Mario or Metroid or anything else where you just go like left wall, right wall, left wall, right wall. But then when you get to the top, you have to time, because you can't climb up or down the wall. You just stick wherever you touch the wall.
Yeah.
So you have to position yourself right at the top of the left wall. Then jump, do your double jump, get over the spikes, that are on top of it then land in between the next two walls. And if you hit any spike, you usually fall all the way back down to the bottom and have to start over again.
Yeah.
And oh my God, I was getting fucking angry.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Podcasting's a weird job because I talk to you nerds all the time. Every day, I tell you all about my life, the good and the bad. The ugly, I kind of keep that offline. And it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I'd love to talk about it. I just need to pick and choose who I talk to. We all have stuff that just lives in our minds, rent-free, 24/7. Talking about them can really help because the longer you keep something bottled up, the more likely it is to blow. You've heard me say it before, and you're going to keep hearing me say it. Therapy is the way. Therapists can be that ear to bend when you really need to get something off your chest and don't know who to talk to. And BetterHelp is a great way to go about it. I don't BS you guys. I don't say I've used something if I've never used it. I've personally talked to a BetterHelp therapist about the stuff going on in my personal life, and I genuinely found it helpful. To have someone to talk to that doesn't have any skin in the game, that can just listen and try to help me come up with a roadmap to get through the tough times, it's just invaluable. It has seriously really helped me. I've talked to my therapist through video, and you can do it that way, or you can do it over the phone, or even just over chat. And they give you as many schedule options as possible so you can work a session in around your life. It's licensed therapy, as convenient as it gets. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rememberthegame today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rememberthegame.
Fuck, I was getting angry.
I think one of the things they do really well in this too is like all the levels where you have like you have the horse and you have like the jet ski, you have like the things where you ride
ride stuff.
And they did a wonderful job.
They're rad. That. Like picture the Turtles in Time game where you're on the surfboards or you're on like the hoverboards.
Yeah.
Except in this one, you're on a horse like out in like a field.
Yeah.
Or you're on like a surfboard.
Yeah.
Or something like that, which are and they look great because you know what I like about those levels is you can for the most part see the bad guys in the background.
Yeah. Oh yeah, coming around
like running toward the front of the screen. And then it'll usually be like a couple seconds and then they'll start coming in from the front of the screen at you.
Yeah.
And so you can look at the back and be like, okay, there's four guys coming.
Yeah.
And then be like fucking like boom, boom, boom. And if you don't hear that fourth explosion, you know you missed one.
Yeah.
And then usually you don't have a lot of time to react. Like you need to get them as they're coming into the screen. But it was gorgeous. Like you're never confused as to what's happening or anything. I don't give the Genesis enough credit for just how good a lot of their games looked.
It was such a... This game, man, even when I like, cause when I suggested it to you, I was like, I would love to do this. And you're like, I think I could play that.
Oh yeah. I remember I fired it up. I think it was in Grand Prairie sitting in my hotel room before a show. And I fired it up. I played for about an hour before my show one night and I texted you and I was like, holy fuck, dude, this is awesome. And it's just, it screams retro gaming.
Yeah.
It's everything to do with retro gaming. They could release this game today for like $20. Like if say this was some indie that somebody put out today for $20, I would have bought it in a heartbeat and been like, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah. Instead you get it with the collection. It's almost worth the collection.
Yeah. It's really good. It like, now I will say like, cause you said you beat it as a kid. I remember texting you, dude, we were actually talking about this right before we started recording the podcast. I'm just bringing my messages up right now. I swear to God, these are actual messages that I have sent Miklos about the game. I just fired up Shinobi and it's pretty rad. It's so much fun, Mikolo said. And then I said, this is like a day later, buddy, Shinobi is sick. It's exactly what retro gaming should be, Mikolo. It's so good. And then literally the next day, the next 24 hours later, I don't take back my praise of Shinobi, but the last level of this game can eat all the asses. I was getting so mad. And then the next day, or no, this was later the same day.
Yeah.
I can't beat this boss. Fuck this game. It went from awesome to go fuck yourself over the last two levels. Fuck. I was getting so angry.
To me, that was like a little badge of honor.
Dude.
Because like, one, I know how much you're into games, but also that I would suggest together, you'd be like, I am so into this game, and also, fuck this game so bad.
God.
And I'm sure what was going through your mind is like, I just have to beat this fucking game, and then I don't have to look at it again, although I hope you do play it again, because it's so much fun.
Dude, and now here's the thing, you guys, like, so there's no saves, it's like, as is most of those games, there's no passwords, you get a couple continues, but when you get game over, you fucking start from square one again. And I'm not even going to bullshit you guys. I save stated. I didn't save state like every jump, but I save state at the beginning of every level so that I wouldn't have to like because the thing about it is like, and this is something we all did as kids, you would play these games. And then when you like, say the fifth level is the one you can't beat,
yeah.
you'd play through the first four with your eyes closed, get to the fifth level and then slowly grind through it, die, and then have to start the whole thing over again.
Yeah.
And I have a ton of respect for that. I'm not shitting. I grew up in the 80s. I fucking yeah. get that's how gaming worked. But I'm like, I have too many games to play now.
Yeah.
I'm safe stating. Like, I have continues. Fuck right off.
Yeah. No, and that's a fair thing to do. I can't knock it, especially now.
Totally. Right? But back in the days where, like, you shelled out. Like, I can't remember. I had somebody on here the other day. We were doing a podcast. I don't remember who it was or what game it was, so I don't know what order it'll go up in. But we were talking about how we don't exactly remember what games cost in the 80s and early 90s, because I know my parents were buying most of my games.
Yeah, like 40 or 60 bucks.
But I have to assume they were probably, like, yeah, 50 or 60.
I think they were about, like, yeah, 40 or 50 bucks.
Like,
so I remember buying Sonic and Knuckles.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, and like it was probably like a
yeah, it was like $50 game. Or $60. Yeah.
Whereas like this game, as rad as it is, if it had save states, like because like I beat it in about 3 days using yeah. save states, because it would just be like hop into the same level, try again. If you had had that back in the day, they could not have sold this game for full price, because someone would have bought it, beat it in a day, and then been like, well, what the fuck? That cost me $60.
Yeah.
But this is what games used to be like, right? And without
they
save
had to
states,
make them kind of hard.
Totally. Right? Because they need you to play it over and over again. And with no way to save your progress, no password system, no nothing, you basically, like, you could, like, fucking watch TV while you play through the first five levels, and then it's like, okay, now it's go time, and you've yeah. earned another shot at it, right? Dude, I can't imagine beating this. Like, I mean, I could get how you could, but I cannot imagine playing it.
It took a long time to do it. I mean, like, it was one of my favorite games.
Right.
But two, like, if you only have so many games, you're going to play these games over and over
yeah.
and over.
Yeah.
Like, it's not on your list that you showed me of games, but there's a Batman Returns for the Sega Genesis.
Okay.
It's a little clunkier than this, yeah. but it's a Batman game, right?
Right.
But my stepdad would play that game over and over and over.
That's the only way you could do it.
And over, right? And then, like, eventually, like, he ended up beating it. Like, you gotta go fight the penguin in this penguin lair and right. stuff. And it was just like...
Oh. And there's something about that sense of accomplishment of beating, like, a really hard game. Like, yeah. you wanna know a game I've never beaten... that I've probably, I bet you I've put 50 hours into it, is Battletoads and Battlemaniacs.
Okay.
And there's no save points. There's yeah. no passwords. You start, like, you have your continues, but when it's yeah. over, it's over. And there's something to that about those games that, like, if you had continues and stuff, you could probably beat it in 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
But having to start over every time, that fucking sense of, like, the sense of tension of trying to beat that level that keeps beating you,
yeah.
and then the sense of overwhelming accomplishment when you finally beat
yeah.
that fucking level. Like, there's just something to be said for that, that I don't have the patience to experience anymore, but I wish I did, because I can get yeah. behind it. I get it.
It was like all the Double Dragons and stuff. Like
Castlevania, Ninja yeah. Gaiden, even, yeah. like all those games, right? This one...
This is a beauty game.
It's great, but that the fucking last couple of levels will just kill you. And like, it's the second last level, that Maze Dojo, is hard.
You should go back and play it, and go just look up some of the cheat codes, because there's cheat codes for like infinite shurikens.
Oh,
and like,
fuck. I should have done that fucking when I was playing it the first time. Because I will tell you guys too, like, the final boss in this game,
oh my god, yeah,
is fucking ridiculous. Like, it was like,
yeah, like, you gotta save up like all of those extra ninja powers you get.
When I texted you and said it could eat all the asses, it was that boss. I was like, I can't be, and like, I, it took me so many tries.
Some of the bosses, like, you know, particularly they all the bosses suited the levels, but some of the bosses, you're like, what the fuck is even going on? Like,
yeah.
what?
That, it's impossible.
Like that giant, like, mutant zombie looking thing that,
oh,
like,
fuck.
Like, his hand comes up
every time
you
hit him, he throws
lasers.
His hand at you, and yeah. fuck off.
Shoots lasers out of his mouth.
It's hard, man. And like, there's sorry, I was just reading about the four powers. So it was the you could protect yourself, you could shoot the fire up,
yeah.
you could get a better jump, or you could self-sacrifice, costing yourself a life to destroy enemies or damage bosses.
Okay.
I never used that one. Although, in hindsight, I probably should have used that one.
That would be pretty good, because you could, yeah, like, at the end of your life or whatever.
Yeah. And like, I'm just one of the reviews right here. The only drawback, the last level is freaking impossible. They're like, yeah, it fucking is. But it's everything that retro gaming should be. It looks gorgeous. The sound is great. It's like playing an arcade game in your house. It handles almost perfect, except for some of the jumping.
This guy here. It's fucking
yeah, that fucking. It's like this giant head with a hand that comes out of the ground.
It's like a weird, like,
but
yeah, I'm trying to think, like House of the Dead. It's just like just a mass of.
But even him,
bubbles.
But even him, I found that like he killed me the first few times.
Yeah.
But then every time I fought him, I got further, and then I got to realize like, oh, this is how you dodge the patterns he's gonna do, which is what those games were all about.
Yeah. Like pattern recognition.
Right. Whereas that final boss. How the fuck anyone dodges half of his attacks, all the different like
you gotta
fucking
get,
things
you
he's
gotta
throwing
get
at
hit.
You? Yeah.
Gotta get hit.
You have to get hit. Like, and like I would get to the point where I would just get on top of him and just start like spamming that jump kick and bounce off him, like hit him as many times as I could. Because then every time he'd hit you, he'd knock you off. This makes me fucking rage, that fucking boss. Listen, you guys, don't let our criticism of that boss, not even criticism, don't let our description of that boss turn you off from this game. If you like action games, if you like...
This is... this is honestly one of my favorite games growing up.
It's impossible not to compare it to Ninja Gaiden, but it's better.
It's better. It's so much better.
At least I think it is.
I love this game, just the running around, just being a ninja.
Yeah, and like, dude, there are a lot of times where as basic as it is, you feel like a ninja. Like, you feel like a badass.
You feel like a badass ninja.
There's just enough variation from level to level. It goes from just straight up left to right, no exploration, to the odd surfing level or riding the horses, to levels where you're kind of climbing up and down in warehouses and looking for things and you can find extra items and stuff like that. There's always like no two levels feel the same. And that's a huge plus when it comes to a game like this. It doesn't start to feel like a slog over and over and over again.
Yeah.
You know, they find a way, even though it's a lot of the same couple of bad guys coming at you over and over again, they find a way to make it feel fun and original over and over again.
One of my favorite things when I was a kid was, because, you know, when you play it so many times, you know where everything is.
Yeah.
Is you just kind of go around and start having fun, like just messing with enemies.
Right.
You're like, and you just toy around and you learn how to do, like, especially how to do crazier things. Like I'm going to jump down here and then I'm going to drop kick this guy. And then I'm going to tumble back and drop kick this guy.
Like,
you're just like, you're trying to like test yourself to do weird combos.
Yeah. Like find different ways to do stuff and everything. But, dude, just, it's not worth $60 today. But like, I know it's on some virtual consoles and stuff like that. It's on this classic collection. If you like, say, if it's honestly like, if it was $10, I would pay $10 for this in a heartbeat, like in a heartbeat, and play it. Like, it was so fun.
This game, there are no words to describe how amazing this game made me feel. I was looking up just reviews on it here on Google, and it's like 5 of 5.
Yeah, it's got great reviews. Like I'd never heard of it. Like it almost bothers me that I'm so oblivious to the Sega Genesis. Like, you know what this game did? So, like, I don't want to say the other game you and I just recorded because I don't know what order they're going up.
Yeah.
And I try to hide the other games. But we just recorded 2 Sega Genesis games. And the first one was fun, but whatever. But, like, this one, like, has me wanting to dive back into that Sega collection and be like, what other games are in here that I didn't play? Because, like,
is Toe Jam and Earl in there?
Yeah.
You should play Toe Jam and Earl.
That one's on there. Gunstar Heroes is on there. And Vector Man.
I haven't played
Toe
Jam and Earl in so long. I don't remember anything about that game. That's how long it's been.
This was great. Like, this was, like, dude, for, like, the kids that would argue in pro Sega Genesis when I was a kid, and I'd be like, you guys are just stupid and you don't know. If someone had made me play this, I would have been like, oh,
I see what you guys are doing. Yeah.
Just tight controls, great graphics, good sound, just a straight-up action game. Just challenging, fucking awesome.
The music.
Yeah, sounds
good. Like, amazing.
There's going to be music playing throughout this episode. It's so good, man. It's,
oh.
Like, dude, great suggestion.
The score to this just sets everything like, perfect.
Great suggestion. Like, just reading on Wikipedia here, Shinobi 3 Return of the Ninja Master received critical acclaim. And that seems to be the overall consensus. Like, 93, 8 out of 10, 8 out of 10, 85. Like, it's really fun. What have they done with Shinobi since? Like, has there been Shinobi games since
then? I have no idea.
Like, I just...
When I went to Google Shinobi, this is the only thing that came up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Holy fuck. Okay, so Shinobi, Shadow Dancer, Revenge of Shinobi, Shadow Dancer, The Secret of Shinobi, The Cyber Shinobi, The GG Shinobi, GG Shinobi 2. So then Shinobi 3 is actually the eighth game. And then there was one in 95, 02, 03, and 11. So.
Wow.
Sega, fucking, you're not doing anything now other than making a stupid-looking Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
Yeah.
So give us another Shinobi game. I'll buy another Shinobi game.
Give us like a 3D one.
Well, the last game was Shinobi 3D.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure they could do a better one. Put it on the Switch.
Yeah, put it on the Switch, please.
Please put it on the Switch and let's just run around and be a ninja.
Just fucking, dude, I had a great time. What would you give Shinobi? I have a pretty good idea what you're going to give it.
Oh, this is like a 9 for me. Yeah.
I'll give it an 8. I had fun. It was, I mean, it's a little short.
Yeah.
Having said that though, like it's a lot of those, like, I mean, listen, it's hypocritical of me to sit here and be like, Turtles in Time is one of the greatest beat 'em ups ever. When Turtles in Time is as long as Shinobi.
Yeah.
It's just that it's the Ninja Turtles. Like this game is every bit as fun to play as that.
Go
game
back,
is.
Remember what it's like to be a little kid pretending you were a ninja with all your friends.
Yeah, and losing at a game and having to start all
over and over.
Because you will. That final boss can eat all the asses.
Screw save states.
Shinobi 3, fucking play, guys. It's great. Miklos, thanks for coming over. Buddy.
No problem, man. This is fun.
That is going to do it for this week's episode, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Miklos, thank you for not only the game suggestion, but for coming over and talking about the game with me afterwards. That was fucking awesome. You guys, it is going to be a couple of Sega weeks here. Like I said, as long as Best Buy doesn't bone me on the delivery date, I plan on delivering a review of the Sega Genesis Classic for you guys next week, episode 65. It'll be something new. We're going to talk a couple more Sega games here in the next couple of weeks. And, you know, and if I, oh yeah, and I'll be at the Edmonton Expo this weekend, probably. So say hi if you see me there. I'll be the ugly guy with the, I was going to say the ugly guy that's a little out of shape with a bit of a scrubby beard, but it's the Edmonton Expo. I'll fit right in. So you probably, if you can hand it a card about the podcast for me at the Edmonton Expo, then say hi, because that's where I am. You can also follow us. We're on Twitter and we're on Instagram at Member the Game, just like Remember without the R-E, at Member the Game. We follow back. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/rememberthegame and youtube.com/rememberthegame. And most importantly, if you enjoyed this show, you guys, please consider supporting us at Patreon. patreon.com/rememberthegame. It's only $2 a month. I give away stuff. I give you extra episodes. I give you shout outs. You can talk to me on there. I give you everything I can for $2 a month. So thank you guys all so much for supporting this stupid podcast. I'll be back next week with episode 65. In the meantime, go play some Sega Genesis. Show that thing some love. It wasn't all bad. And I'll talk to you guys again in a week. Take it easy. Cheers.